Well, let me hear you say mountain, mountain, mountain.
I hear what you're saying.
Yeah, I'm gonna get that.
Fire, what we dealing with, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. Today we are reading about revolutionary. Like, we always hear the concept of revolution being thrown around and revolutionaries being thrown around. And I think everybody is looking at it really, 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 really wrong. First and foremost, what is the revolution and who are the real revolutionaries? And that's right. That's a question we need to answer, you know?
And great questions, because what is the revolution? There's so many different forms of revolution or sub-revolutions within the revolution, different revolutions within different cultures, different spaces, different times. And who are the revolutionary? I just want to speak out from the Black community. What I notice is that when they think, I think those civil rights movies really messed up people's brains, right? Mm-hmm. Anytime they think about revolution, you got to be, you know, someone with 1,000 people walking behind them or doing something crazy. When in reality, we have many revolutionaries with us today. We just don't acknowledge them.
Big time.
I think one of the greatest revolutionaries in our community is the Black family, you know, because they're struggling so much. And anyone who really goes through the ups and downs to maintain their family, you know, to be a great example for their children, to be a good husband, to be a good wife, and keep the family together in this environment, far right, is a revolutionary, right? All the people who sacrifice and work with children on a daily basis, and deal with the ups and downs of the children, guide them, provide them love, nurture, protection, and wisdom, there are revolutionaries. What happens now is that the term revolutionary has become so commercialized.
Yep.
And you can self-identify as anything now. Yeah. you can self-identify as a revolutionary with a click of a button. So it's become like kind of a little vibe. It's more of a dress. It's more of what my social media page looks like, even to a certain extent, what you say. But the real characteristics that come with being a revolutionary is being a visionary, or being ahead of your time. Also, that sacrifice. You know, that's a key aspect. And that's why I mentioned the people before, because they're the highest form or the highest demonstration of sacrifice. Like, there's no sacrifice, but people identify themselves as a revolutionary person. And when I mean sacrifice, you don't have to put your life on the line. Like, you don't have to, like, you know, be at risk of being killed. But there are sacrifices. And I think the greatest sacrifice in the capitalistic society is the sacrifice of capital. You could be doing other things to earn more capital, but you decide to do other things that are more beneficial to the mission or the people you think that's important. You know, so that's how we really characterize the revolutionary in the Black community. So many people who self-identify as revolutionaries, in my eyes, aren't really revolutionaries. You
know? And you know, the concept of who are revolutionaries to me from a community standpoint, especially when I think about INI people, is more like, what type of gap is there that needs to be filled? And if that person is filling that gap within the present, based upon that need for the community itself, that's what I classify as a revolutionary. Like, for instance, bless up Miss Marlene and her husband, same way we're in an East New York, I provide the people with fresh food. Yeah. And that's very important. You grow that organic food, you sell that organic food to the people, you have the farmer's market, that's very important, so the people have access to good food. That's something that's overlooked constantly again and again and again. And these are the people that we need to give highlight to and let them understand that, yo, your purpose is needed, because without you, they would be showing us all of these different things in the supermarket. We wouldn't have access to these things so close to us. And that in itself is going to spiral us to really build up our health, and not just build up our health, we actually have a connection from a community standpoint where we know how to barter amongst ourselves and keep that sustainability flowing. And then also they have children who they're teaching to farm, which I feel like farming is a lost art.
Yeah.
And that in itself to me is a revolutionary act. And then now I'm going to think about, bless up Glenn and the whole family, them who are mechanics, same way, like when I think about elders, you know, the community who actually move from place to place within the community, the service people, car, Because think about it in modern society, you can't move without a car. So how would you go against the tradesmen? The tradesmen who come fill your house, if you have a problem in your house, you might need a plumber, you might need an HVAC. So all of these different things where people come and serve within the community, and not just for the sake of money itself, but just for the upholding of the community, making sure that the community can stay afloat. Yeah. These are people who never necessarily get recognized because it's seen as just another thing, but not understanding that without this particular ingredient that these people are bringing, then the cake wouldn't taste as nice. And we wouldn't be able to move. We wouldn't be as mobile as we are currently without the functioning of these people who are staple within the community, and we can bounce ideas off of each other and these things. I feel like most time we think about who is respected within the community, it's not people who are really exemplary, are people who carry out any form of service that is benefiting the community for the most
part. Somebody vibe, right? It's a money worship vibe, you know? It's a position worship vibe, a hype vibe, but not necessarily work. And I think one of the key components that I've noticed with people who I would identify as a revolutionary person is they have a collective mindset.
Yeah.
And they see themselves as a part of something else. It's just not about them. And that mind frame guides their decisions, you know? And there needs to be a balance to that. I think we spoke about when you kind of give away yourself too much. But at the same time, their decision making is really based on what's beneficial for the collective, you know? And we can take it on a smaller level with the family situation, that the decisions that they're making is not necessarily what's best for them, but what's beneficial, what's best for their family, what's best for their spouse, what's best for their children. That's why I would identify the family. You know, they hear it all the time, like the most revolutionary thing you could do as a black man is to be a father, head of the household. And I would bring the whole family into the thing, because we live in an era where the family is not it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's sad to say, but it's just the reality that it is. So salute to those who really fight the fight to keep their family on a certain heights, to keep their family safe, to keep their family in an environment where they can grow. Nurture their family. That's revolutionary work. And also too, man, salute to the, I have a different respect for men who are fathers and who could keep their household in check, because that's the highest form of administration work. We think about administration, right? Think about corporate engineers, but not the administration work in your house, the diplomacy that's needed to keep a household going and dealing with so many different things and different temperaments and different issues, you know, and balancing that all out and making sure everyone gets what they need. It's revolutionary work.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. You mentioned that, and I can't help but think about the concept of like outside, inside, you know. So we're a lot of people they're always focused on what they see on the outside, but not really focused on the inside. When we're little, I'm growing up in Jamaica, they have a proverb, dance a yard before you dance abroad.
Yeah.
And that was so crucial to the development of every youth, because you have to understand that there's a concept of internal, that we need to focus on that internal building and that family structure where a father or a mother might sit within the community itself is very important. Because when I was little, I always wonder to myself, like, how can some of my friends them be out in the street after nine, and why me after the woman? It seems like a sad phenomenon at the time to you, but not realizing that. Yeah,
proper parenting.
Right? Yeah, proper parenting and guidance. And you know, that in itself is a revolutionary act.
Big time, but and it's kind of too, because the parent also is an oddball. I think good parents are kind of, I don't want to say they're fully ostracized, but you kind of are when you think about it, right? Because I'm going through this whole cell phone vibe. Like, my child doesn't have a cell phone, right? And a lot of her peers has a cell phone. And she's not getting a cell phone. You get what I'm saying? Until we decide it's time for her to get a cell phone. But it's like, in certain instances now, we're kind of like the eyeballs in a certain instance. Because it's like, just trying to, it's not a strictness. You're literally trying to protect the child from stuff she can't handle. You get what I'm saying? Like, you're just trying to be a parent. Like, just trying to be. You're just being a parent.
The average child, this is statistics, anybody can check. The average child who is exposed to technology at an earlier age faces a higher probability of depression. And that's been shown, especially when it comes to the high depression rate, especially towards social media platforms like Instagram.
You're a man in advertising. So you don't have to search far to see the study that shows the skyrocketing in depression and suicide amongst teenagers with the growth of social media, especially when it came accessible not just to college students. So it didn't just happen right away, right? Mm-hmm. But when Facebook became accessible to all people, it don't go like this. It goes up like this.
Shoot right up.
It's a direct correlation because you're exposed to too many different things and they can't process and they're so stuck on this comparison thing and they're never enough. And their self-worth gets so depleted. Not only that, not saying you weren't exposed to stuff or you weren't supposed to be exposed to it as a younger age, but now the fact that you can be exposed to so much at a higher rate, at a consistent rate through the device, that your little mind can't process. Mm. It just
too much on.
So like, why wouldn't you just put it on pause for a while? You get what I'm saying? So it's like a lot of shout out to all the parents out there that got the phone on lock. And if they do have the phone, you can lock down the phone.
Parental control.
There's numerous programs you can use. So basically the child just could call you. Child can't get a call from anyone else. Child can't call anyone else. Child can't text anyone else. Because that's the argument. They want child to have access to you. So the child does have access to you, right? Or 911, all apps are shut down. You dictate what the child could watch, you know, because the child needs to be protected. Because these platforms aren't filtering. The child thing they have there, I don't know what it's for, because the child is still seeing stuff that they shouldn't be seeing.
Being a good parent is one of the biggest revolutionary acts anybody could ever do. And that's a continuous evolving act because as your child grow up and become an adult, they're still nurturing that needs to be done, but it's just done in a different way if you keep the mantle moving. And then with that being said, it's also being that example for youths outside of your household, because that example that you set is always something that can be replicated from different standpoints. And that's what we need to look into, because it's not just being selfish. Again, there's always that element of being selfish and selfless. We have to think about it from two skills. And that's what I feel like a revolutionary does, where coming out to yourself knowing that this is a benefit to me and then this is a benefit to others. Just like how we talked about it the other day in our reasoning of pleasing people versus with that giving that customer service. So we have to understand what type of benefits, because when we think about the word revolution, it's really stirring up change, or it's changing our lifting processes from one place to the next and starting a whole new process that works better than what was there before.
Evolution.
That's what it is. Evolution or revolution have the same concept tied in. I feel like most people just don't see it that way because there's always this aggression from a society standpoint that we put towards revolution, that we don't stop to see all of the pieces come together.
You know, too, I just want to add this in too, and some people probably can relate, but what I've learned, like when I was working around kids, is that the kids envy the kid who has the stern parent. Because a lot of times the kids, even though, they may, because you deny certain activities, but deep inside there's a respect because they know, let me be clear, depending on how it's coming from the parent, right? But they know there's a love and a concern there, and they feel away because no one is showing that concern in their life. No one cares. Yeah,
there's no structure.
Yeah, no one cares that you're out at midnight or no one cares.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? And a lot of time the child does want someone to care. Mm-hmm. Now, sometimes they're too free, so when they get it now, they don't know how to respond. Mm-hmm. We have to acknowledge that. But deep in their heart, they want someone to care.
Mm-hmm. And that's a fuck.
You know, and a lot of kids in their homes were like, don't nobody ask them how their day was. Don't nobody care if they ate. Don't nobody care. Like, they're really fending for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
For whatever reasons. Some is neglect. Some parents working, regardless of what you want to say. But the point is that, like, in their eyes, no one cares. And if you talk to them, first they're going to say is no one cares.
And you know, some of the I mentioned this, and I really want to touch upon this point too, is where I feel like if we are to become really successful and break away from the oppressive system that control will live on a daily livelihood, we have to do it in a subtle manner. And that subtle manner is maintaining and upholding a structure that works, a sustainable structure that works. And that structure is not anything where you're going to, because how can you war with with a system that has chosen to fight the war. They can fight you from miles away. What type of physical harm can you do? Plus, if you think about the concept of even guns, are manufactured by actual companies, and these companies support the oppressive system that you reference. That means that you have to depend on them to even defend your own self. So then the war in itself can't be won from that physical side only. That physicality is needed, you know, because you have to have some form of resistance.
Yeah.
But you have to be equipped, or else is that you're going into a battle blindly. And so I feel like the moral concept of a moral construct of this thing, and the concept where everybody is really intertwined and playing their role as to what they're an expert in, because you don't have to feel like if you're an expert in being a daycare now. Daycares are very important within the community itself. And daycare have to be run upon a structure. What are youths learning during that time when their parents are away from them and learning something and working to find money to provide for their child? What is the daycare teaching the child during that particular time? So a daycare person is supposed to be a revolutionary also. Just as how the garbage man who collect the garbage throughout the community is very necessary and needed, because if that person don't come collect the garbage, that community will be physically unattractive. That now will start make people get miserable, and there will be nothing flourishing within that space. So everybody have to understand that we are all experts in different arenas, and that's how we need to see our revolutionary acts in itself. Yeah,
fire. You just basically saying everybody need to play their role.
And that's how simple it is.
You know, but that's the problem. Everyone needs to play their role. And I think that the issue that I've really been observing is that anytime we talk about change, everything is external, but nothing's internal. Have two internals. You have your person internal, then you have the internal, which is you. You have the internal, which is your house.
Mm-hmm.
And I think once you get those things together collectively, then we would make four. But everyone's trying to do everything else. And it's just like, I think people need to work on themselves and get their house in order.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the only thing we need to do. And we need to set up a system for people who's too far out there to assist them or bring their children and to get them in order. Yeah. I think that's like the only thing we need to do. But there are many beautiful, great families out there that have their house in order. You can see how they move. Sometimes they're criticized because they got their house too in order.
Yeah.
That's, you get what I'm
saying? Almost like you're acting like you're better than me.
That's not the right. The house just in order. You're probably not used to see people living on the heights. The house in order. And that's a lot of families out there. They don't get the highlight due to, you know, social media running everything. The highlight confusion. But there are a lot of Black families out there where people doing their thing. Great fathers, great mothers, great children too, you know?
Yeah.
But they don't get the highlight, you know?
I feel like there's one thing missing from that construct though. Like, for me, generally speaking, let me say, a lot of these family, they have a structure that works for them internally.
Yeah.
But I think it's more like about that meism kind of coming again.
Collective vibe.
That collective vibes where that sharing of information and ensuring this is how we do this to a certain, not that you have to be on a platform and try to throw it out there, but not just be about yourself. You understand? And that is what is necessary as a revolutionary act.
It's necessary, but there are two sides to it. And I've witnessed this where people who, you know, kind of have their thing that when I was younger, there's so much disdain for them, for those who don't have their thing together, fire. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's a smack in the face, like they don't want to hear nothing from them.
Yeah.
So it has to be some type of education on their end that you may want to listen to these people that's doing their thing. Mm-hmm. You know, in regards, and it's not even a money thing, in regards to your behavior, how you deal with yourself, you know. But like, I noticed that people go back to the grudge for a reason, and it's like they're not trying to hear, they just hate them.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We spoke about this yesterday. Dougie Fresh can tell you. I asked the crew in regards to like, man, Black people are addicted, right? Addicted to seeing their brother and sister fall, fire. Mm-hmm. It's an addiction.
It become a story, a conversation where it's carry on and continued.
Mm-hmm. So it's like, now if you kind of have your thing, some stability in your life,
makes them feel uncomfortable.
They can feel a way about that, which is disturbing, you know? And they themselves self-sabotage if any form of stability or consistency comes in their life. But I said all that to say is that that's one of the reasons in regards to that connection. I think that's why people more stay on the outside, because they're not open. If I see it, like they just have a real disgust for people who have their family in order,
mm-hmm.
people who have themselves in order,
mm-hmm.
people who have their finances in order. And you don't have, it's not no hype thing for you. We're not talking about hype.
You're just consistent.
Yeah, you're mm-hmm. just consistent and solid in your thing, and people just really just have a disgust for it. And I learned this, my boy put me up on this too, yeah. See how, I don't want to generalize. I'm not saying all. I want to be clear, right? I'm not saying all, but there's a large portion, and men can attest to this. See how Black women who are single look at families out in public fire.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't with no joy in their eyes, I tell you that much.
Yeah.
And how many, why do married women have so much problems, right? From sisters or their friend group or their girl group?
It's almost like
they have way more problems vibes. than men.
Mm-hmm. You see, I just may really talk about you in a fair. Like I feel like from when you say the dancer, you had before you dance abroad, it's like if we messed up mentally, and we can't have that individual self-confidence and self-esteem and then make it start bouncing out. Like, you know, love is contagious and yeah. happiness and these things are contagious. That's how simple being a revolutionary starts. That's how being a revolutionary starts until it develops into something more beautiful and a more refined type of finished product. And I feel like people just don't see it from that angle, because everybody is looking outward and not looking inward to say, all right, let me work on this within myself. And then once I work on this within myself, I can be an example in this arena after doing these things, as I use the keyword consistently for X amount of time. So by this point in time, I know what I'm saying. Yeah. I know what I'm doing. Then we can spread this joy. And then the person on the receiving end now can be there. This, I actually see a track record from this person. Yeah. Let me take this lesson that this person has to offer and see how I can incorporate this into my daily routine or my life. But it's always that clashing taking place. And these are the number one block. These are the main blockers in the whole revolution where we're talking about. If we get the thing over the top now so we can start to see some tangible results as a people. And these are the main things blocking us. But we see it as just, oh, you know, she don't like me. Me don't like she. And it's just some ordinary thing. We normalize all of these internal competitions. That we start go anti the direction of what a revolution is supposed to be, not understanding that we should be moving towards a revolution. And in order to do that, we need to be or strive to be complete beings as much as possible, who don't have hatred, who don't think about competition, all of these things. So once we develop internally, then we become a specialist in a particular arena where we can start put impact on other people's life. And that is the, it is where I feel like the revolution, how people supposed to think about the revolution, you know?
Two things. One of the key components in the struggles you were talking about is work. First, trying to work on yourself and continue to work to get to that point in which people just don't want to work. That is what it is, right? Mm-hmm. Question I want to ask you, is love really contagious? You just mentioned love is contagious. And I want to ask you, is love really contagious? And I know that's a famous saying, but is love really contagious?
For me, I think it's probably the direction. I would say yes, but probably the direction I am looking at it from, because yeah. I'm thinking about contagious of being, once energy is everything again. Yeah. If I am getting love, that I'm going to reciprocate that love. Yeah. And once I reciprocate that love, automatically, everybody else will be affected, because if I get that from a particular source and I take that onto myself and I become a source to others, then it's like that's always being spread. You see, yeah. So just like any lesson that you might learn something, you read a book, you learn about this thing, you see it in the next book, it start more, the more you start see it, it start become a fact here, because it come from reputable sources. Yeah. So you start share that information with somebody else. That in itself is contagion. So that's the way I look at the concept of love in itself, where when I start spread love to a particular manner, then automatically somebody else are going to start feel that love. And then that person, now, once them start taking on that love consistently,
yeah.
then will start put it on to somebody else. So I start see like molecules are bumping into each other, just to make the whole thing can work. You know, that's how me look on it at least.
Yeah, I got an energy vibe. Yeah, because I don't know, some people just sign a love in their heart, yeah.
That's the next part of the game.
You get what I'm saying? Like, I hear what you're saying on the energy vibe, but I was just thinking about people. Like, you know, I know, people have this benefit of the doubt, but dealing with reality, some people don't have no love in their heart.
I think that is because of the, what we mentioned earlier, it's the same lack of self-esteem, and it's where the house is not clean, so you can't expect.
Where are they going to learn that?
Where they going to learn it from, you know? And that's why the revolution is so important in from that micro perspective and not just the macro perspective, because people only think about it on the macro scale and not the micro scale, where we need to start diving into each of these issues, see the important roles of everybody, all of the pieces in the puzzle. Let's not highlight the middle piece, because the middle piece have the brighter color. We'll highlight all of the puzzle, because if we don't want this piece, the puzzle is still incomplete, and that's where we are right now, with left with an incomplete puzzle. We don't know what piece should be fitted in that particular area, and then now we start quarreling and arguing, and confusion and chaos take over the scene, and then the revolution just lasts, and everybody start going the opposite way from the revolution as opposed to pushing the revolution. Yeah.
No, facts. And anyone listening, we do encourage you to take up a real revolutionary hat without pushing a button. Yeah. And salute to all those who've been putting out the work in the households, in the communities, in the world in general, consistently, you know?